Pels fans, today I am very excited to have on longtime buddy Charles LaRocca. Now, Charles is the Pelicans beat writer over at Hoops Habit, and he is in Las Vegas right now. But before we talk Summer League, we've got some trade rumors to discuss. So, without further ado, let's phone our buddy Charles.
This call is being recorded.
All right, and now we welcome on to the program our good buddy Charles LaRocca. What's up, dude?
How's it going, Preston? Happy to finally be on the podcast.
I know. How long have we been trying to do this? Charles is one of my old buddies from Pelican Debrief, and we've been trying to do this for maybe 2 years. What do you think?
Yeah, 2 years. We've been writing together for 2 years on the same staff, you know, conflicting schedules, but, you know, kind of sort of moved on, but we're still here writing about the Pelicans and, you know, times right now.
Yeah, man, I'm so proud of you. For those of you who don't know, he's now with Hoops Habit. He is a beat writer for the Pelicans. I think a year ago at this time, we were arguing over the validity of Jaylen Brown, and you have since been proven right. He looks like he's going to be a young stud. But at the time, I think I was just so in love with the idea of Jamal Murray. I just couldn't see anybody else. You know, when you lock eyes with somebody across the bar and everything else just fades away, and that was Jamal Murray for me. And so I apologize in hindsight. It looks like Jaylen Brown's going to be a pretty good player.
Yeah, he's going to be a good player, but you're not wrong about Murray either, which is interesting because that draft class early at the top is like, all of them look like they're going to be fairly good players besides maybe like Bender struggling a bit. But when you look at Murray, Heald, Brown, guys that the Pelicans were mainly interested in, all those players look like they're going to be able to carve out some NBA future. So,
yeah,
very interesting.
Right. It looks like it's a solid draft. But Charles, I've actually got to spring some breaking news. Mike Shoto, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, on Twitter, has just broken a rumor that the Pelicans are discussing trading Etuan Moore and Alexis Ejinsa for Reggie Jackson. He says more on this as it develops. What do you think about this trade possibly coming to fruition?
Well, from what I'm seeing on Pelicans Twitter, it's being received with mixed reviews. I mean, of course, Jackson's on a bad contract, and he's had as well documented, he's had locker room issues. But when you look at who they're giving up, Etuan Moore and Alexis Ejinsa, assuming that that's the trade, I think we would go through. Reggie Jackson is better than both of those players, and he will help the Pelicans out. He's not my ideal choice for a guard, but if they were to get Reggie Jackson back, I think it's an upgrade.
Yeah, it's definitely
better.
It's definitely a risk, in my opinion, the Pels have to take. I'm a big Etuan Moore fan. I know a lot of the boys at the Bird Rights are as well. But when you take a look at some of what Reggie Jackson has done in the past, I know Bourbon Street Shots has gone deep on this as well. In his first year post-signing the five-year, $80 million deal that John Wall so famously mocked, he had a really productive season. He was scoring 19 points a game. His assist-to-turnover ratio was almost 3-1, which is considered pretty elite. 5 rebounds, 6 assists. At his best, he's a great player. Last year, he was slowed down. I think a lot of people forget he had some knee tendinosis and a ligament strain in his thumb. So he missed, I think, something around 20 games. He missed, the first third of the season. So he does have an upside. How do you think he would potentially pair with Drew Holiday, I think, is the greater question.
Well, he's not exactly, a great shooter, which is, I think, what a lot of people felt like the ideal guard should have been. But he allows Drew to push off ball. I think it's documented, Jackson's really good in the pick and roll. He can drive to the basket. He can create his own shot. It just gives the Pelicans another option in the backcourt that's someone that can create for themselves. And it takes the pressure off of Drew having to be the only, legitimate ball handler or perimeter threat. So it's not like a fit in the glove, but it's something that can work out. And it's not, like you said, I think it's something the Pelicans, if they don't have any other offers, and if this is the best option out there, I say pull the trigger on it because the talent is there for Reggie Jackson. Drew is not going to be a work in progress, but Drew played next to Tyreek Evans, who I would say is a similar type of player to Reggie Jackson. And Tyreek and Drew, when they were both healthy, they played very fairly well with each other.
Yeah, definitely. I guess I can't help but be nervous because we just brought in Chris Finch to do this entire point boogie type rotation and set. And now we're bringing in another ball dominant player. Not that Jrue Holiday is ball dominant, but he's a guy that most consider prefers the ball in his hands. We tried relegating him to the two guard spot last year. And while it minimized the turnovers with Tim Frazier at the point, Jrue Holiday never really got comfortable playing at that two position. And now you're giving him even fewer touches. You're basically, I guess, delegating him to an Avery Bradley type role. Is that what you see as Jrue Holiday's future in this scenario?
I don't think he'd do it as well as Avery Bradley was able to do it. But he's going to be playing off ball more if this were to happen. And it's something that I can see him actually kind of doing well at, thriving at, because Jrue struggled. Well, post Boogie trade, he struggled a bit, I think, personally, because of lack of chemistry in the offense. He just added a massive piece to Boogie with Boogie, and as a point guard, it kind of just throws the offense on its head a little bit. So I think with the entire training camp, Jrue Holiday will be able to adjust. He said in the offseason he doesn't really mind playing either guard position. He can guard ones or twos. So I think as long as he's able to still have his moments with the ball, I think he will. I think it's not going to really be that much of an issue.
Okay, so you've got good hopes for this, and hopefully he heals quickly and we bring him in. Right now, this move is getting pretty much universally panned by Pelicans fans, as you just mentioned on Twitter. Why do you think that people are so up in arms about our Reggie Jackson addition?
Well, one, because, like you said, Reggie Jackson struggled last year, and there is he is on the big contract, so it's not like you're going to get cap relief from this. A lot of people wanted, to get for dumping a Jinker or a Seek, they expect to have some salary relief, but with Jackson, you're actually taking back salary, and he's locked up long-term, so you're kind of stuck into this core of Jrue, Reggie, Boogie, Browse, and the question is, like, how good is that team still? I think it's good enough for playoffs, but realistically, like, what is the ceiling on that team? And it's like you mentioned earlier, Reggie Jackson, his first year Detroit was playing like a fringe all-star, and then he dropped off, whether due to injury, but who really is Reggie Jackson? We don't really know yet. So there's still a lot of question marks with him as a player. And now when you make this trade, you're committing to him long-term. And I think a lot of it, being Pelicans fans, you're just naturally pessimistic and like, well, what can go wrong with this, right?
So. Yeah, and you definitely, I also have to question what the Pistons get out of this, because they just, in my opinion, overpaid Langston Galloway, 3 years, $21 million. I don't really see him as a point guard. Ish Smith is their backup, and he played well for the Pelicans as a point guard, but he's not really a shooter. He's not someone you can really give 35 minutes a game to. And then you've got Avery Bradley. Are you going to put him at point guard? You've got rookie Luke Kennard that you would think they wouldn't give more than 25 minutes per game to. You're bringing in Etuan Moore. It seems like they're bringing in a glut of these combination guards. Who do you think is going to run the point for them?
Right now, if this were to happen, I'd have to go with my guess would be Ish Smith, because I don't see him like those other guys. They can play off ball a bit, or they can, they can play off ball. They can shoot the ball. I don't really see how Ish Smith is an asset off the ball. If he doesn't have the ball in his hands, like, what value is he really bringing to you offensively? So that'd be my guess initially. And another interesting part of the trade is that while Pelican fans are like, they're panning the trade, Pistons fans are panning it for the Detroit Pistons. They think Pelicans should be giving up a pick at least in this trade. And they don't understand what the Pistons are doing. So it's kind of a really weird trade where both fan base, there's no really clear winner on either side.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. I just did. I just ran this on the John Hollinger ESPN trade machine. I invite all of you to do the same. And although there's a $5 million disparity, it says the trade does work. But what I was going to ask you is the Pelicans do have some unguaranteed contracts in the mode of Axel Tupan, Quinn Cook, Cech Diallo. They just acquired Darius Miller. I don't know how long before he's eligible to be traded. But do you think there's a possibility that any of these contracts are included with the trade, like a Quinn Cook? Or do you think the Pelicans might even include a pick to this trade?
I really hope they don't include a pick, because that's like the last trade chip the Pelicans have right now with that pick, right? But as far as the non-guaranteed, I think that was Dell's plan, was to include him into a deal down the line. Because he had to go in knowing that they were going to have limited cap relief, limited from the signed free agent stuff. These non-guaranteed have value, as you're seeing down in Houston with Daryl Morey. He's using those non-guarantees to bring in a lot of guys and use those as trade chips. So, yeah, I think that was a plan for Dell. I'm not sure if they include that in this deal, but it's something definitely to look forward, look towards as you hear more rumors come out with the Pelicans.
All right, Charles, thanks so much for rolling with. I kind of sprung this on Charles for our listeners. I didn't preface that we were going right in on this, and this just happened as we sit here, I think, 10 minutes ago. So kudos to you, Charles, for being all caught up and having your eyes on Twitter. Let's get to the reason we called you, though. How is Las Vegas?
Very hot right now. Las Vegas is extremely hot, but a lot of basketball, a lot of basketball. That's all I can say. Not necessarily good basketball, but there's a lot to talk about, especially with the Pelicans Summer League. Check Diallo, Quinn Cook looking good.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. The first two games, these two guys really shine. Shaq had, I think, 50 and 20 in his first two games. Both games lost by 3 and 2 points, respectively. And Shaq Diallo really broke down after the Sunday night game against the Hawks. And then last night against against Brooklyn, he suffered some kind of a quad strain. Is that right? It doesn't appear to be injury serious. Do you know anything about this?
I don't know. I don't know the specifics, but I know Scott Kushner on Twitter said that he suffered a thigh contusion, and he likely his summer league's done. There hasn't been any updates on it yet. But I think the Pelicans play tomorrow in the summer league playoffs. I'd be shocked to see Diallo back out there.
Okay, well, we still have a lot to watch with Quinn Cook, who has been, I would say he's been exceeding expectations. Would you agree?
Yep, I agree 100%. And I think it's a good sign that he's playing well, because right now he's penciled in as the backup guard. And I had my skepticism of Quinn Cook. I wasn't really the biggest fan of his, but he's showing a lot that he can create. He can run an offense. He can make shots. But I still think his best position is utilized as an off-ball guard, which is good if you have a guy like Jordan Crawford who can handle the rock a little bit. So it's a good sign to see Quinn Cook playing well.
Yeah, he had 16 points, 25 points on Sunday, and 20 points last night in a game the Pelicans really got crushed. I think they were trailing 51-27 at the end of the first half, so not a competitive matchup. And I have to ask, beyond Quinn Cook and Shaq Diallo, it sounds like there's not a whole lot of NBA-level talent on the roster. Has anybody really stuck out to you as somebody who could be a rotation player with the Pelicans going into the 2017-18 season?
In my honest opinion, from the game I watched every game live, I would say no chance. There's a clear drop off in talent behind Cook and Diallo, and you see it. Like Cook will create a good shot for guys and just miss an open threes or miss an open layup. Guys not getting their poor defensive rotations, missing easy shots. It's just no one's really shown a flash of skill that they can say, hey, this guy can rely on that at the next level. You know what I mean? No one's really shown a consistent skill set besides the two main guys, which is fine, but if the Pelicans are looking to find a diamond in the rough in the summer league, I think it's likely to come from another team.
Oh, nice. Has anybody stuck out to you as a possible addition? I'm putting you on the spot here, but somebody who's really been showing out in Las Vegas that you'd like to see among the Pelicans ranks?
Yeah, it's tough. Because most of the time when you go to these games, you're kind of like watching you go to the teams that have the best rookies or not. But a couple of guys that looked pretty, I think off the top of my head here, the Bucks, I liked Travis Trice. I liked Vander Blue from the Lakers. But, I mean, he's been in the league. He's been in summer league for the last 4 years. So, I mean, how good are those guys, you know? So, it's really tough. I've seen Doyle from the Nets. He was shooting pretty high percentage on 3-point looks, but I mean, I didn't really look deep into those guys, so it's hard for me to say from just that one game that I saw them play. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm putting you on the spot here too. To be honest, beyond those two guys. There isn't a lot. I can do this. Jamel McMillan self-admittedly said the whole thing is about them in reference to Quinn Cook and Cheick Diallo. So the whole thing has to be about these two young men's development, and anything beyond that is, like we say in New Orleans, lanyap, because these two guys have been showing out. We're going to sit down, Cheick Diallo. We've got some great news as far as Frank Jackson, our second round pick, goes. Jamel said that he's going to be back rather quickly. Since we have you in Las Vegas, this is all stuff we can read online. I know you went to Vegas last year. Is that true?
Yeah, I actually go to school out here. So I am currently living out here.
Oh, nice. So you're just out there. You're not staying. I was going to ask you next question. What hotel are you staying at and what shows have you been seeing? But I guess this is just a everyday, pretty much normal for you. Is that right?
Yeah, this is like the big deal for me.
Well, tell us a little bit more about that. How would you compare last summer league season to this summer league season? And what is the overall general NBA vibe like in Las Vegas right now?
Well, I was telling my buddies this. Since the Lakers have been, because I've been going to summer league for about 4 years now, so I've seen it from, like, since the Lakers have become a bad team, they get a high rookie, and there's a lot of Laker fans in Las Vegas, a lot of Laker fans on the West Coast. So since the Lakers get a top pick, like last year was crazy, this year is crazy, sold all games, the atmosphere has honestly been incredible, and it looks, as long as like the Lakers are a bad team and they have a top pick, it's going to remain that way. The day I went Sunday, the Lakers didn't play. And it was kind of back to normal a little bit, you know? It wasn't as packed. It was either the seats were cheaper. Then Monday, because of the Fox and Ball matchup, the hyped up matchup that never happened, the tickets were like $75 to get in, sold out seats. It really felt like a big game vibe, which is awesome. Especially for locals out here who don't have a professional team, it gives them a chance to go out and see some of their favorite guys, feel like an NBA atmosphere. It's really a cool thing to watch it grow. And as far as the Pelicans, not many Pelicans fans out here. I'm one of few. And last year for the Pelicans, there was a lot more interest in them because they had a top pick in Buddy Hield. This year, I mean, Cheick Diallo is good, Quinn Cook is good, but they're not really known by many people outside of Pelicans fans. So it's not been too crazy at Pelicans games.
Well, it should translate to better seating for you. Is that right? You can sit a little bit closer to the action since there's not as much competition.
Oh, yes, 100%. I 100%. I get some very nice seats right behind like the bench. I get hear the guys in the court, hear defensive switches, hear what they're saying. It's really cool. But when you try to go like to the Laker games, man, good luck.
What's one of the cooler experiences you've had in these three games so far? Like, we watch on Twitter, Scott Kushner reports that he sees Dell Demps sitting next to Boogie and then sitting next to Anthony Davis, and we've got Jordan Crawford on hand. What have you seen and what have you heard during some of these contests?
Well, I've seen during the Pelicans versus Hawks game, it's really, because I'm right there, it's pretty cool hearing the coaches, Coach McMillan, yelling at guys like Cheick about rotation. Like, seeing them at that animation really up close, you kind of get like you're in the huddle type of feel. And it's really cool. And besides that, also just like seeing so many like NBA fans. Like, I see other writers that I conversate with on Twitter there. You have a bit of conversation with them, chop it up. It's good to see them, you know, network a little bit. It's awesome because you don't really get to see a lot of these guys too often because of the, you know, during the season, everyone's living in different areas, but kind of Vegas, it kind of brings everyone together, and you get to just talk ball with a lot of people, knowledgeable people.
Charles, great stuff, man. I'm so glad I finally got to talk to you. I want to talk to you more, but unfortunately, I'm going to see a terrible movie right now, so I'm going to cut you short. We do have until July 14th. What's that?
What's a terrible movie?
I feel embarrassed saying I did see Spider-Man. It was fantastic. But tonight I have the night off and I'm going to see Transformers Part 5.
I'm actually going to see Transformers Part 5 as well tonight. And I'm not excited.
Why are we doing this to ourselves then?
No, it's $5 Tuesdays here. So I take advantage. And unfortunately, this is the best option.
Yeah, we've got a similar deal out here, and we have a reserve seating. It's leather chairs, they recline. So I'm about to watch a really bad movie in style. But for now, sports fans, Charles LaRocca can be found at Hoops Habit on Twitter. He is the Pelicans beat writer there. You can follow him at C L A Rocca, Rocca Junior on Twitter. Great friend, better writer. Best of luck to you, Charles. What can we find of your work coming up on Hoops Habit? Sell yourself a bit here.
Well, Hoops Habit, are we having a piece coming up? I'm writing tonight on the trade rumors and how it's going to affect the Pelicans. I'm going to have my takeaways from Summer League being live here in Las Vegas. I'm going to have that coming up. So stay tuned and yeah, give me a follow.
You're the man, Charles, and hopefully I'll speak to you this weekend and we'll cover some more Summer League.
I'm looking forward to it, Preston.
All right, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, you can find us on Blog Talk Radio. Search the Bird Rights NBA or go on iTunes where you can find us at The Bird Call. We'll be on Stitcher soon. Now, again, if you like what you're hearing, do us a favor. Like, subscribe, retweet, comment, spread the word. We appreciate it so much. My name is Preston Ellis, and if you have any questions you want to hear them heard or have some particular guest you'd like us to have on, tweet at me. It's Preston Ellis. I'll do my best to make it happen. Now, thank you guys so much. Don't forget to go to thebirdrights.com. We've got content on there every day, keeping you updated with all the latest information on all things Pels. Again, thank you guys. I'm out of breath. Let's go, Pelicans!